And now that I'm glad my vascular surgeon or my plastic surgeon isn't here, but I was reading about some diets that I might have to get rid of. No, not 15 pounds or 20 pounds. Here's some dumb diets. Sleeping Beauty diet. It has a picture of a man sleeping on top of a big burger or cake or something. He says the Sleeping Beauty diet is if you aren't awake, you can't eat, right? Advocates sedate themselves and sleep for days. Then there's a tapeworm diet. Ooh, well, if you go to the tropics, tapeworms are prevalent there. And those things can grow up to, I think, over 30 feet long in your stomach. Tapeworms are very prevalent in the tropics. But here's a tapeworm diet. Take one orally. One tapeworm. Take one orally. Or according to tapeworm.net, quote, travel to a part of the world where beef tapeworms are endemic and infect yourself that way. And the third diet is called the cotton ball diet. Begin each meal with an appetizer of cotton balls. The balls will fill up so that you won't want to eat so much. Oh, well, enough of that. Yeah, so it's a challenge to lose weight because I can't walk any long distance. Because the leg, you know, during the day, by tonight, this leg is much, much fatter, bigger. So I wear these stockings and I have to wear this thing here to keep the stomach from. But anyway, I know you're praying for me. Today, we're going into Romans 6, and that's why I prepared my heart. That song that Patrick sung was on my heart for days and days. It's not an easy road, because that's where we are in this part of Romans, Romans chapter 6. The application for that is a song that I asked Carleen to pull on from the internet, which I'll read at the end of the lesson. But a little summary. I've given you a little picture of the first five chapters of Romans. And according to H.L. Wilmington calls it the courthouse of the law. We've already finished that. The courthouse of the law. And the last lesson I had was Romans 5, which I called Mount what?
Much more.
Much more. Greek words, palomelein, or much rather, palomelein, the much more, five times. Remember in the book of Romans chapter 5. God has given us this justification, which is exceeding any sin, right? Said where sin abounds, grace what? Much more, super abounds. That means there's no sin that can ever be committed that cannot be forgiven. And when I have a struggling, I think of Hitler and Mussolini and others. Do you know if they repent, God forgives them? Yes. That's why I believe we're going to have some surprises in heaven. Surprises that we're going to see people there we thought should never be there. And that we're going to miss people we thought should be there that are not there. More and more, as the church dilutes the gospel, as what we call political correctness creeps in, and men who teach and preach are afraid or reticent to talk about the blood of Jesus Christ and the cross of Jesus Christ. There are many people flocking to churches still yet. But I wonder, a survey was done, I'm trying to remember the name, Barner, some years ago, where almost half of the congregation in most Baptist churches are non-Christians, pretty much. They're there. They may sing in the choir. And there may be some preaching from the pulpit. You remember a doctor who was a teacher of this class for years? No, no. Richard Wells was a preacher, a minister. He came to First Baptist and he heard Dr. Criswell. That's when he got converted. He was already an ordained preacher. He got converted here at First Baptist Church. Richard Wells. I went to a wedding last night. My son's wife's brother got married. And I heard two people, I was groaning. My spirit, especially when we went to the reception, and this minister prayed and never mentioned Jesus. Never mentioned Jesus. Talk about God, yes. Never Jesus. I'm saying, Lord, that's what's happening, ladies and gentlemen. So when you see a man like Rick Perry take the heat for what he did. Man, are you reading the paper? Yes. Because he's leaving out this one and that one. Because the big word today is what? Inclusivism. Big tent. Inclusivism. And as if you read the scriptures, you go to Daniel and Revelation, which are, you have to read them both. You'll find that before Christ comes, we're going to have this one world government, one world currency. I guess it will be more evident during the tribulation. One world religion. We're moving towards that. Blur the lines. Don't talk about doctrine. Don't talk about what we're talking about now. Blur the lines. Let people feel happy. Well, what we're going to read today is ain't happy. It's not an easy road. We already been justified. We have read that, right? Jesus has already washed our sins away. But the verse that comes to mind is when he said in Matthew 11, in those last four verses, come unto me, all you who are weary and are heavy laden, God, will you rest? That is the beginning. This, what we're going to talk about today is take my yoke upon you and learn from me. We don't like that. Take my yoke upon you and what? Learn from me. Why didn't he take us home when we came to Christ? Because God has a plan to what? Conform us to his image. The image of his son. And it ain't nice sometimes. It ain't nice. So we went up on Mount Rushmore. And now he's going to take us on this winding pathway. Winding. Bumps and stops and turns I don't know if you ever traveled in countries like that where you go up in a mountain and you go, you know, if you go to Jamaica, it's like that. But if you go to some parts of Europe too, right? You're going up and then down and, you know, people, oh man, there's a precipice there. You know, I remember some friends have come to me in Jamaica and I go up to the Blue Mountains where we get coffee. And the roads are very narrow. To get to pass, someone has to stop and back up. And then you look down there, it's about all my friends going one side of the bus because they don't want to look over. But that's the path where we're going to talk about. It's not an easy road. Not an easy road, but that's what he's doing in my life. And you remember I gave you the testimony I had. I came to a point in that road where I didn't want to go any further. Remember? I was hurting. Body wouldn't work. Body wouldn't work at all after that 13 and a half hour surgery. 40 days. No kidney. Kidney, lost a kidney. The other one would not work. Would not work. They tried everything. Wouldn't work. Lost a rib. 95% of my blood was changed. Day after day, seen Carlene. And that was my second major surgery. Plus the cancer. I was still being treated for cancer. Came to a point I didn't want to continue on that road. Remember I told you? One night, I was spiraling. Spiraling. This dark place. Cried out to God one word. Enough. Twice. Enough. I wanted to die. I really wanted to go home to heaven. I was so embarrassed. I know my body, I had to train my linen one night, three times a night. And so I had enough. I mean, years back, I lost my business. I can tell a lot of stories. That worked so hard. Lost my business. Lost my home. I'd been through different things with God. But I come to a point in life saying, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to be a burden anymore. And God answered me. I told you the story. God answered me in a reprimand. The desire to die is God's choice, not mine. He said these seven words that I'll never forget as long as I live. That is not your choice to make. And I was redirected. I was refocused. And when I realized that God was with me, I was having a one-man revival in that room. I don't know why they didn't come. I was shouting and praising. I could have walked off that bed. And God showed up. And what we're doing, that song. This is a rough way we're going on. We've been justified already. Now what is he doing? He's sanctifying us. And this sanctification sometimes, tough. In fact, let me give you this song to set the mood. And so, I love the Gator. You ever heard the Gator Choral, the Gator Band, the Gator whatever trio? Here's the song. Carleen pulled it this morning for me because I was reading this. Did you see today's paper where 22 seals died? 22 seals died, 30 in a crash. To be a seal, it ain't easy. I was watching a program some time ago. You may have 100 men who are being trained, and by the time they get to being a SEAL, maybe it's only 10 out of the 100. But they're qualified. Special ops. And when we lose 22, those are the SEALs who caught Osama bin Laden. When we lose 22, it's a long. But here's a Bill Gator song, and I don't know why the Holy Spirit is just keeping me going this way, because we need to get into Scripture. Let me just read it as we get into Scripture. I should have given you this song too, but maybe you'll sing it next week. It says, what this dying world could use is a willing man of God who dares to go against the grain and works without applause. A man who raised the shield of faith, protecting what is pure, whose love is tough and gentle, a man whose word is sure. Then you know the chorus. God doesn't need an orator who knows just what to say. He doesn't need all authorities to reason him away. He doesn't need an army to guarantee a win. He just needs a few good men. You ever heard that song? Oh, man. Google it. It will bless you. Romans chapter 6. Let's get there. Romans chapter 6. We're in Mount Muchmore, but God's going to take us now some winding paths. Read with me. We're going to go fast. Carleen thinks I linger too much. What shall we say then? What shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, certainly not, in your version maybe. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many as us that were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Are you hear that? Sanctification is what? Newness of life. For we have been united together in the likeness of his death. You're going to see that word several times. Certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. And there's a verse here that is mentioned several times in this chapter 6. Is the word knowing or reckon. So I would put a note there if you write in your Bible. Knowing, not guessing, hope so, think so. The Christian faith is a what? A know so. Isn't that beautiful? The Apostle John loves that. If you go to the Apostle John, he writes, he always talks about knowing, especially in 1 John. Knowing. You don't guess so, hope so, think so. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be what? Slaves to sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Freed from sin in what way? From the penalty? That's justification. Yes. And now from the what? The power. Let me say, from the penalty, the moment you came to Christ. When I led my neighbor, who this retired attorney, Howard, I didn't know he was going to die in 2 weeks. He's saved from the penalty. You and I who have been saved years and years, we're being saved from what? The power. And one day we're going to be saved from the very presence of sin. No sin. But until then, it's the power factor we're dealing with. For he who died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also what? Live with him. Here again, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died, remember all these death, it's a sad kind of passage, but it's great. For the death that he died to sin once for all. Once for all. I'm teaching the book of Hebrews next week. I love it. Because the only book in the New Testament that tells about what Jesus has been doing since he went back to heaven. And in the book of Hebrews, you'd have that term over and over again, once for all. Once for all. Man, once for all. When Jesus died, and he said, "It is finished." He didn't whimper. I believe when Jesus died, you know, he didn't say, "It is finished." I think maybe he said it loud as he could with his body in pain and everything. I think he said it so loud he would have blown this microphone. I think he yelled it. Because it was a consummation of everything God had given him to do. It is finished! Died. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Finished. But we ain't finished yet. Told you that Carlene has a little shirt sometimes she wears, and the back of it says, "Still under construction." We're still under construction, right? Look at that. Verse 10. For the death he died unto sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. And we live with him, he lives to God. Here it is. Likewise, you also reckon. It's a bookkeeping term. Reckon. Put it on the ledger. Write it down. Put it on the ledger. Reckon yourselves what? To be dead indeed to sin. Dead to sin, but what? Alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Death and life. Jesus said, unless a corn of wheat fall into the ground and dies, what? It abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. Therefore is my Father glorified. The Apostle Paul says, I'm learning to die daily. I'm learning that too. As I shared with you before, the three things that I remind myself every day of my life. And the water formula, H-H-O, H-2-O, honesty. I'm a very needy person, God. Open my eyes. I'm going to praise you. I'm a very needy person. That story in John chapter 2 about Jesus turning water into wine. Water speaks of life. The wine runs out. Have you ever had your wine run out? Oh yes, wine speaks of joy. You can have your wine run out every day. Maybe several times a day. Like Doug was an attorney, but he was one of the most difficult people. He said, oh God, give me grace to deal with this one. Right? Yeah. Because your wine's going to run out. Because people are going to hate you for some reason or say some things for your wine. Like I told you about my mortgage. The same company was soliciting me twice. Say I can't afford to pay a mortgage $300 less than what I'm paying to them. Doesn't make sense. Right? Wine ran out. Okay, God. Honesty. Honesty, God. And a part of the honesty application is keeping short accounts with God. Keeping short accounts with God. Barney 5, nip it in the bud. Nip it in the bud. Thoughts coming. I'm 46 years of marriage, and I've been learning how to keep short accounts, right? If I don't keep short accounts with Carlene, it doesn't matter how long I pray. I better keep short accounts with her first. I've woken her up, I told you. Sweetheart, I want to pray with the Lord. Say, you ain't going to hear me. I said something today, it was the wrong, I did, and please forgive me. And she opened her eyes again and said, will you please forgive me? Yeah, okay, thank you, sweetheart. You go back to sleep. I go to pray. Honesty, next one that I live by, and I do it every day. Then I'm going to go to God. Humility. Because what? He resists the proud. Pride. I believe that's the most obnoxious sin in to God. Pride. Because it started with what? Satan. Read Isaiah 14. Where he said five times, I will. And God said, you won't. He threw him out of heaven. And he was so powerful, he took one third of heaven with him. And he's still creating devastation. He doesn't mind if you become religious. No, he loves religious people. But he hates obedience to the word of God. Because that's what Jesus quoted to him three times. It is written. Jesus didn't say, in my opinion, no, he said, it is written three times. Three times. It is written. The word of God. Humility. Humility means my attitude. My attitude to God. Not to pretend to be humble before anybody. But to be humble, what? Before God. And the next thing I live by, and I promise, I'm learning. He always, without exception, sends us back to his what? His word. Paul, what did I tell you? This has been a difficult passage for me because it ain't easy to go through Romans chapter 6 because there's so much death and death and death and death. And we don't like to think of death. I told some of my friends last night at that wedding, I love weddings. They're so joyous. But I'm hoping this marriage won't die prematurely. Because the Christian family is having divorce as often as the non-Christian. Yes. Is that sad? And there are some divorces, I know. They're biblical reasons. My mother had biblical reasons. My father, desertion and infidelity. That's what the scriptures teach. And she had those two grounds. And I told my mom, as I told you, divorce him. Still young, pretty. She said no. And I learned for the first time the word covenant. And today, as I've said to you, marriages are what? Contracts. Most of them. Until you get me unhappy. I'm dealing with it because it has affected my family. So I know what it is. Very painful. Especially if children are involved. So here we have. Where are we? Verse what? Verse 12. Here again. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Reign, what does reign mean? Rule. Does it mean we won't sin? No. No. Don't hold to that false doctrine of sinless perfectionism. I remember a time, as I shared with you, where Dr. Criswell would have this guy park the bus outside yelling at Dr. Criswell about preaching what he was saying and saying he was wrong because when you come to a Christian, when you be a Christian, you can't sin anymore. And I remember I was walking in church and one of the guys who were in the row was in the Crane Plaza handing out his literature and I said, can I talk to you a minute? Yeah, he said, sure. I said, do you have children? He said, yes. Because I say, are they Christians? Oh, yes. Do they do anything wrong? And he shut up. He couldn't answer me. His children were Christians. And he was there preaching, well, you won't sin. No. Because you go back to 1 John again. John, if we say we have not sinned, we what? Deceive ourselves. He's talking to Christians. If we say we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Ah, and I love that verse. Chapter 1, verse 9. But if we what? Confess our sins. If we agree with God. You know that's that Greek word, homologeo. It means saying the same thing God says. That's what it is. Simple. Homologeo. Okay. If we say the same thing God says. If we agree with God. Keeps on cleansing. That's what in the Greek it means. It's a passive. It's a future. It says if we confess our sins, what? He'll keep on what? Cleansing us. Keeps on cleansing us. Like Jesus washing Peter's feet. He has to wash my feet so many times. He keeps on cleansing us from all our sins. Isn't that beautiful? Let's go. He said, therefore, do not let sin remain in mortal body that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present yourselves. Present your members. What are the members we have? The body. The body. And I believe Satan's greatest onslaught is through what? The mind. This brain we have that has his mind. Remember I told you Adrian Rogers is famous. I like that. He said the brain is like the piano. The mind is like the piano player. If the piano player ain't playing what you like, kick him off the stool. Get another piano player. What you put in your mind. Because you have to put it in the mind before it gets into what? The body. I'm so concerned for my grandkids with the new technology where he's texting and sexting. And aren't you concerned? Because the onslaught is on the mind. The mind. And I believe when I was in that hospital room, Satan was battling with me. Telling me, not that I heard his words, but it's like, where's your God? Why doesn't he heal you? So many people are struggling. And they go to these fake healers. You know, why doesn't God heal you? Why aren't you in financial problems? Why are you losing your house? And all these things. Because, you see, he wants to shift that focus. And I have them in there where Satan shifted my focus to my pain and my hurt and the length of time and the cancer and the surgeries and the body won't work. That focus. Always we have to refocus. And when we confess our sins, that's the beginning of the refocusing. Let's finish this. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you obey in its lusts, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness. But what? To sin, but what? Present. Present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have what? Dominion means sin shall not control you. Sin shall not control you. Shall not have dominion over you. Don't let it reign over you. For you are not on the law, but on the grace. Let me rush through. What then? Shall we sin because we are not on the law, but on the grace? Certainly not. By the way, you want to get a continuation of that part, go to the book of James. I picked up a book. Dr. Joel Gregory was a former pastor here. You know the story. But he had put a little manual called Christianity in Real Shoe Leather. I was teaching my class at DBU, and it was on one of the tables. This is James talking to people who would say that question here. They're saved and they're happy to be saved. They're happy to be saved. And they say, okay, grace will cover my sin. It doesn't matter. And James says, you ain't right. Because Paul deals with faith or righteousness before God. James was dealing with it as righteousness before men. I think it was Dr. Wells who made this quote some time ago in this class about preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the phrase goes like, let me always, I think it's from St. Francis of Assisi, Lord, let me always preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, I'm missing it. And I'll go back. The preaching gospel of Jesus Christ. In everything you do, always preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. In everything you do, always preach God. When necessary, use your voice. That's powerful. There's some theologians have a problem with that. In everything you do, always preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. When necessary, use your voice. That means the life cannot be contrary to the words. And I believe that was why I could lead that attorney. I've been a friend with him for a year and a half. Brilliant mind. And I was praying for him. I even got him married. I married both of them. But that's because I know they were non-Christians. I have no problem marrying non-Christians. I won't marry a Christian and a non-Christian. No. I married two Christians or two non-Christians. So we had built a relationship. Visiting like once a month, once every other week. And the time came. I didn't know he was going to die. But it was the right time. Because he knew what I was saying is in alignment with how he had observed my life. Right? He had observed my life. And this is what Paul taking. He's saying. And James is saying, let your life be aligned with your words. He was talking to what they call libertines. The libertine is asking the same questions here. The libertine. There's so many libertines in our churches today. They're here on a Sunday. May even be here tonight. May even be here on a Wednesday. But the rest of the week, no. So James used that word. He said, faith without works is what? Dead. It means it's barren, unproductive. Let's finish this. And, my goodness. We're having so much fun. Verse 16, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? Remember, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. When we were freed from the slavery of sin, a new slavery began. Yes, we don't like that part. Don't like the word slavery. Let me share with you something. I was going to make it as the application, but because of time, talk about slavery. The first missionaries to Jamaica were from the estate of Count von Zinzendorf in Austria. They had to flee England because of Mary, Queen of Scots. She was a Catholic woman who just, anybody who were Protestant, she went after. And they ran to Austria. And this man, Count von Zinzendorf, was very wealthy. And he said, come, anybody, as many as. Two of these men heard about slavery in the Caribbean. They're very concerned. And two went to Jamaica. I think it was 1753, 54, 55. Don't remember. And when they saw and they tried to witness to the slaves, the overseers, because the plantation owners lived in England, the overseers said no. Because the slaves' time of production was from sunrise to sunset. And if they were behind in their quotas, they would wake them up on the moonlight night. Go back on the fields. So these guys were interfering with the productivity. And you know what they did? They couldn't speak to these slaves because they were tired at night. All they did at night was just sing, eat and sing. Go. They sold themselves as slaves to a slave owner. They indentured themselves. They went into the cane fields. It's hot. Tropical. And in the banana fields. And while they were cutting bananas and cutting canes, that's when they shared the gospel. And these Africans see these two white guys. And they know it was a white man who had brought them in slavery, right? And here's a white man cutting cane and bananas with them and telling them about the love of Jesus. That's how they won them to Christ. And in those days, because of the diseases, they didn't live long. Most of these people in the Caribbean died before they were 40 years old. Isn't that awesome? My grandfather was a Moravian, that's how I learned the story. And one day, he went up into the hills. He had a lot of employees. He had sugarcane and timber. And he knew of this story. When he had come to Christ, he wanted to live what the slaves did in a little way. So he went up there cutting lumber and he had a sunstroke. He told me he almost died. Because he was so moved by what the Moravians did when they came and sold themselves as slaves. We're going to finish this. Isn't that powerful? I'm not there yet. Anyway. Let's finish it and we pray. Do you not know, verse 16, that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, what? Here, obedience. See that? Remember? Honesty, humility, obedience. You obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, because you see, that's what sin is, you know. Sin is lawlessness. Sin is rebellion against God. Every time I teach a DBU, whether it's Old Testament, Book of the Prophets, John, Hebrews coming up, always turn to Matthew chapter 7 and ask him to read verses 1, 21 through 23, where Jesus said, using this word lawlessness, many will say to me on that day, Lord, 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 have we not? And they'll give a litany of the things they did and they didn't do. Cast out demons, wonders in your name. And Jesus is going to say to them what? Depart from me. I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. That's religious people. Those are missionaries. Those are pastors. Those are businessmen. Depart from me. Because they never were what? They never experienced justification. They were trying to live what? Sanctification. They were trying to live sanctification, but they have to start with what? Justification. They have to start at the cross. At the cross, where I first saw the light, the burden of my heart went away. It was there by faith I received my sight. So I'm going to stop there because I know I'm out of time. But this is a rough road. It's a rough road because it reminds me of what slavery and death and sin. And sometimes we're going to come to that mountaintop again in Romans 8. We're going to go back on another mountaintop. But this right now, it's a plan. Next Sunday, we're going to deal with the pain. Chapter 7. And next Sunday, we're going to deal with the prize. This is the plan. The plan God is bringing it through our lives. As he brings different things and he teaches us what it means to die so we can live. Thank you so much. God bless you.